Shout out to the world. We back, the Knowledge, Ancient Mysteries, and My Stories podcast. I am your host, Mayat Khan, and this is a podcast based on the literature by author Makusa Aram Khan, entitled The Knowledge, Ancient Mysteries, and My Stories. How's everybody feeling? Summertime has arrived. Things are well. 6:22. And we're going to get right on into it. Today we're going to be talking about... Hold on. Y'all got y'all literature? Page 39. The solstice and the equinox, winter and spring. But before we get to that...
The K.
This is the conversation.
A.
Welcome to the conversation.
This is the conversation.
Episode 9, lesson 17. But before we get to that, during this week's conversation, of course, we're going to get right to concurrent events. We're going to be discussing Juneteenth. If you've been watching the news, you'll be seeing that Juneteenth was made a federal holiday. I see people hugging. I see people high-fiving. I see people liking and, you know, crying and so happy. So Pop said he wanted to take a minute and holler at all of us in regards to Juneteenth. So Pops, please.
Juneteenth to me is not a holiday to be celebrated. It is a sad epitaph to the way our forefathers and mothers were treated before and after slavery. It should be a day of national mourning to remind America and the world that America is not the beautiful. The Emancipation Proclamation became law in January 8, 1863, but it could not be enforced in places still under Confederate control. It took two more years for approximately 250,000 Texan slaves to learn their freedom had been secured by the government. It was on June 19, 1865, that soldiers landed in Galveston, Texas, with the news that the Civil War had ended and that the enslaved were now free. But where would they go and what would they do? They were so dependent on massa that they became sharecroppers, still a type of slavery under the control of the white man. Are we as black people in North America free? No, we are not. We are still looked at with suspicion and hate because we have the nerve to ask for self-respect. Being killed every day by the law who are supposed to protect and serve us. And police officers saying to white people, we only shoot black people. This is the way we are treated in this unfair system of government. I could go on, but I won't. Sick? Yes, indeed. The holiday Juneteenth is a joke to pacify us, and the rest of America is laughing at us. We are not free, my people, and to think like this is shameful. Reparations is what we should demand. And as long as we North American blacks are not compensated for the wrong that was done to our forefathers and mothers and still happening to us today, America, the more bad karma, America and all its people will surely suffer. America, America, why are you falling? Because you are a habitation of evil, evil thoughts, unfair laws, racist actions toward a people that you tried to eliminate, but you did not succeed. Sick? Yes, indeed.
So towards a people that you tried to eliminate when we were brought here, I mean, we know the backstory, and once we were freed, I understand that the message could have taken a moment to get from state to state, but what really bugs me out is that the massa or the head white man in charge of these plantations was propagating. So that's crazy. If you wanted to eliminate something, why would you propagate? I guess you know, we could talk about that on a whole nother podcast, but it's really deep. And I also thought about reparations. Just let me touch on this real quick, Pop. But on reparations, I think that the system is threatened that if reparations were given to the blacks and the ancestors of people that were proven to be slaves, that we would tilt the scale as far as the power shift of America. And I think that scares the hell out of them. But let me let you continue. Let's get to the lesson. Like I said, for accuracy, episode 9, lesson 17. So welcome. It's on the equinox, the solstice. We're going to hop right on in. On the whole chapter, Pop, I took a look at it and I thought to myself, you know, the darkest day of the year, the shortest, you know, night, the sun, and the 21st of December, the 22nd. You know, I found it to be a bit confusing. So if you could tackle this chapter as a whole, we're on page 39. I think we all would really appreciate it.
Within this short discourse, this riddle is some mighty esoteric secrets. It was designed to make one think. So esoteric is this knowledge, I am torn about trying to put them into words, these sublime truths. The knowledge presented here is a knowledge that is above the vault, as the ancient Egyptians would explain it. One of my nieces says she could preach a sermon about this discourse in my book. I doubt it, but just in case she could, here are a few pebbles of understanding to help her along her way. Because if I can get one person to understand these sublime truths, my time here and now will not have been wasted. The ancients saw the sun, S-U-N, as the giver and destroyer of life. It rises in the east, travels through the south, sets in the west. There is no sun in the north. The reason, they say, the absence of the sun from the north is that the north is the place of death and dead things. Dante's Inferno was a picture and symbol of the icy north. Why do we celebrate Christmas in the middle of winter and not in July or August, when there is good reason to celebrate it then? When the very bright light of the Star of Bethlehem, so says the historical record, followed by the Magi, and the pattern of stars at dawn on the 29th of July, 7th BC, so clearly fits with the ancient conception of the birth of a Lion King, and probably was the date that St. Matthew had in mind when writing his gospel. The learned among the pagan Greeks, the ancient Egyptians, and others would very likely have understood the subtle, unspoken message written between the lines of Matthew's gospel, that the Nazarene was born to be a king at this time. Yet, if the nativity took place in the summer, why do we celebrate Christmas in the middle of winter and not in July or August? The answer to this is quite simple, and it has to do with the church's need to win converts. Our date for Christmas, 25 December, was originally a pre-Christian or pagan winter solstice festival held in honor of the birth of the Sol, S-O-L, which is a name for the sun, or the unconquered sun, S-U-N. It was also the birthday of Mithras, the pagan bull god, whose cult was extremely popular throughout the Roman Empire during the 1st and 2nd centuries AD. The adoption of this holiday festival with the date of 25 of December was a pragmatic move made by this church during the 4th century after Constantine the Great made Christianity the official religion of the empire. In order to appease public opinion in Rome and elsewhere, where the people were used to having a party on the day made it the birthday of the sun, S-O-N. This was and still is the celebration of the winter solstice, the 21st of December, a made birthday of the Christ, the time of the party, and it is still that way today. Prior to this time, the official festival of Christmas, still held today by the Orthodox Church, was and is January the 6th, called the Feast of the Epiphany. However, this feast was originally celebrated not as a supposed birthday of Jesus, but rather of his baptism by John the Baptist. In Greek, the word epiphany means manifestation, usually of something supernatural. The Feast of the Epiphany originally had nothing to do with the arrival of the wise men at the stable in Bethlehem, but commemorated the manifestation of the Holy Spirit as a bright light at the time of Jesus' baptism in the River Jordan. This story is told in chapter 1 of John's Gospel, and the same story is contained in the Gospel of Matthew, but with some difference of detail. As for the date of January the 6th, an important day of celebration in ancient time, has become a shameful date of horror in our time, the time of the insurrection in Washington, D.C. What is God trying to tell us? In the midst of the darkest part of the year, nature reminds us that the light in the form of the messianic presence is still with us, and this presence reappears in the spring as a symbol of hope of the ones who are willing to try to save the world that is destined to die. These are some of the mysteries of the solstice and the equinox. Hard to grasp and hard to understand, I know, but this is the path one has to walk in order to understand secret things and then teach them to those who are sent to you. Just because you know these things does not make you special. This is our work as a crossbearer to serve the people of the world, and this must be done.
I feel that, Pops. I definitely do. Now, the riddle part, I'm going to have to go back to that, but I definitely like how you wrapped it up. Appreciate you taking your time, Pops. It's always a pleasure. I'm really happy that we've decided to do that. We've come a long way. Coming up on our 20th lesson soon. Stay tuned for lesson 18 in a couple weeks here. I'm trying to decide right now when we're going to take a little breather, because season 2 been going hard. It'll be coming up. I'm in a debate between a couple different chapters to finish it off and to start it. Yeah, let's talk analytics. 86% here stateside. Canada and the UK, 2% of our listeners each, so we appreciate that. And then South Africa, India, Belgium, Australia, Ireland, France, Philippines, Netherlands, Italy, Germany, Singapore, Bulgaria, Colombia, Macedonia, Finland, Croatia, New Zealand, Nigeria, Switzerland, and just today, probably while we were actually editing this pod, Nauru. It's a country in Oceania. I don't know if I'm saying that right. But it's a tiny island country in Micronesia, northeast of Australia. So the population, 12,581. So to that one person that's listening out in Nauru, shout out. And in case you don't know, it's how you get a book. First of all, the book is $20, regardless if you're using Cash App, regardless if you're going to send a check, regardless if you're going to use PayPal. So $20 for the copy of the book. If you're going to send a check, money order, cash, please send it to P.O. Box 372-424, Denver, Colorado, 80237. And that will be to M.A. Khan. Just like Makusa Arm Khan. Once again, M.A. Khan. So if you want to send check, cash, money order, P.O. Box 372-424, Denver, Colorado, 80237. If you're going to use Cash App, just use Makusa Khan. Just get that M-U-C-U-S-S-A-K-H-A-N. And the same is going to be for PayPal. Also, once you do place your order and your funds have been sent, either reach out to Mayotte's Facebook page, reach out to the Ancient Mystery Facebook page, and please direct message your information, being your name, being your address. If you'd like to add a phone number, we can always use that. But that way, we can mail it to the correct address. There's no additional funds that need to be put besides the $20 that will include your mailing. So we appreciate y'all being here. Thank you, Makusa, once again. And yeah, it's a wrap. So a little bit of a quick hitter for episode 9, lesson 17 of season 2. This has been the Knowledge, Ancient Mysteries, and My Stories podcast. Today we did end up on page 39, talking about the solstice, the equinox, winter, and spring. Go head back, review it, check it out. Remember to circle back to the conversation, concurrent events. We talked about Juneteenth. A lot packed in this little one. So enjoy. Tell somebody to tell somebody. See us on Facebook. See us on Instagram. The Knowledge, Ancient Mysteries, and My Stories. We'll be back in a couple weeks. Peace.